Lord, we do thank you for this wonderful time of year that we've celebrated your birth. Lord, we've had wonderful time with family and friends, and we just thank you for the times we've had. We do pray for our class members who are traveling today, family members who are traveling. Give them safety, watch over them, bring them back to us, we pray. And do pray for these special needs today, for Mike Williams undergoing tests. We pray that you give the doctor's wisdom there for Lisa also. Lord, help her. We thank you that Steve's test came back and everything's okay. Just continue to touch his body. And Lord, think of Tom Cole, his dad there at the hospital with pneumonia. And pray you'd give the doctor's wisdom in dealing with him. And then as he comes out, as they look for a nursing home, we pray that you would give real wisdom and direction there. And for Shannon Lewis, been in a car accident, we pray you'd work in that life and just help them today. And Lord, as we look at your word this morning, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us, that you would minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 12 this morning. I'm going to step away from 1 Thessalonians today and possibly the next couple weeks. I'm not sure, but I know I am today for sure. And so we'll start in Genesis chapter 12. We'll be looking at a lot of scripture this morning. I encourage you to get your Bible out and move along with us. If you hear it, you'll remember it some. If you see it and read it at the same time, you remember it a whole lot longer. So Genesis chapter 12. Several weeks ago, I was with Pastor, and we were at the hospital visiting Joyce. And she mentioned that she has a book, and in that book she's asking people to write down. She's got it with her, okay? Good. You can take notes this morning because this is for you, okay? And I've been praying for several weeks. I said, Joyce, I'm not going to give you a verse now because I'm not sure what the Lord would lay in my heart. And I wanted to give the proper verse. And so I've been praying now for several weeks. And all during these last two or three weeks, the same thought has come back to me over and over. In fact, in her situation, I have had no other thought. But I'll be honest with you. This is an incredible thought. And I thought, Lord, are you sure this is what you want? And this is the direction I'm going. So this morning, actually, Joyce had texted me a couple days ago, said, I want to come to Sunday school. Can you set up a couple chairs in the back? We'll just slip in. And so I said, well, that's great. And then she texted me this morning, said they are coming. And so this morning, I'm going to give Joyce the verses, okay? And y'all can listen in. How's that, all right? Now here's the thing. This time last year, Joyce and Bennett had no idea what was coming. We are standing on the brink of a new year, and we don't have any idea of what's coming. Now, I'm not here to try to scare you. I'm here to try to prepare you, okay? And the truth that the Lord has laid in my heart that I'm going to share with you, we're going to start in Genesis chapter 12, and I want to give you some examples of what we would consider impossible situations. Now, if you're in the cancer ministry, you got Joyce's email, and basically the doctor's saying she has a 5% chance of this working. It's pretty sobering. Okay. Almost an impossible situation. Her doctor said when he first saw her, this is going to be a God thing. Now, I'm not sure what he meant by that, but I know what I mean by that. And I just want to give you some truth here that will help all of us in the time of need, okay? So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 12. I'm actually going to back up to chapter 11, verse 31. And it says, and Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees, going to the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Now, here is a young couple, Sarah and Abram, and no children. Probably married. Sarah was probably married in that day, probably 17 years old. The dream of every little Jewish girl was what? To have a child and to be the mother of the Messiah. Now, years are going by. They've been in Haran. The Lord comes and his father, Terah, dies. They've been there for some time. How many children do they have? None. Now God comes to them in Genesis chapter 12, and it said, "The Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation." Now, to be a great nation, what have you got to have? People. That's exactly right. It's hard to have a nation with two people. God is saying, Sarah, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing to many, many people. So they departed, and they moved on. At this point, Abraham is 75 years old. Sarah is 65 years old. They have no children. God comes on the scene and says, okay, buddy, I want you to know that you're going to be a great nation. Now, can you imagine what Sarah thought? Now, remember, they did live longer those days than they do today. I know if even today, if someone came to you and you're 75 years old and they said, you're going to have a child, even today that would be quite an amazing thing. In that day, it probably wasn't quite as amazing as it is today because they lived sometimes 200-300 years, okay? But time goes on, and we move to Genesis chapter 13, and it says in Genesis chapter 13, in verse 14, look there if you would, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." Okay, he's saying, here he comes again. And the Lord said, look, you're going to have seed. And notice, this seed is going to be as the what? Dust of the earth, and it's not in this passage, but the stars of the sky. In other words, Abram, you're going to have a bunch of kids. At least a lot of offspring. Now we've got a problem. At this point, how many children do they have? Still don't have any children. Well, as you can imagine, their faith faltered. In Genesis chapter 16, Sarah gives up hope. And what did she do? Said, hey, here's my handmaiden. Ishmael's the son. What was her name? Hagar, thank you. Go into Hagar, and you can have a child by her. And see, that will be of your seed, and we'll have a child. And so they did that. Aren't you glad they did that? Huh. We're still struggling because of that some 3,000, 4,000 years later, aren't we? She gives up hope. She is 76. Abram is 86. They've been in Canaan 10 years. How many children do they have? None. And so she panics, and Abram goes in to Hagar, that's his later wife, and they have a child, Ishmael, but again, no children of their own. Genesis chapter 17, 13 years have passed since that time. So they've been in Canaan now 23 years. How many children do they have? They have none. And God comes to Abram in chapter 17, and when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Now remember, how many children does he have? Well, he has one, but none by Sarah. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. Hey, how old is this guy? He is now 99 years old. And that makes his wife how old? 89 years old. Now, how did Abraham respond? He said, yeah, right. It's not going to happen. He said, I'm an old guy. This is not going to happen. Abraham laughed. In Genesis 18, 9 through 15, I won't read the whole passage. Well, I guess I need to read some of it. God comes to them again. She's now 90. He's now 100. And God says, look, you're going to have a child. And what does she do? She laughs. Now, can you blame them? I mean, let's be honest. Would you call this an impossible situation? Yeah. He's 100. She's 90. She says, you know, it has ceased to be with me after the manner of woman. She said, physically, it would be impossible for me to have a child. Now, I want you to look in verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Now, listen to verse 14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now, I want you to stop for a moment. Some of you have very difficult situations you're in right now. And they may be ongoing. They've been going on for some time. Let me ask you a question. Is your situation too hard for the Lord? Let's be honest. How many have ever thought, man, this is a helpless situation. This is hopeless. Have you ever been one low? You said, this is hopeless. There's no, yeah. And it's funny, as you raise your hands, I can look around and I can see people and I say, yeah, I remember, I know that one. Yeah, I know that one. Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, I remember that one. This is a rhetorical question, okay? God says to Abram and Sarah, hey, look, I want you to know there is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing too hard for God. And God says in a certain time, I'm going to come, and she is going to have a child. Now, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. And I want you to, there's a phrase in here that jumped out at me when I read this. Look at it, Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. What's the phrase you see three times? It's God said, God said, God spoke. God said, look, I told you I was going to do this. And he said, I did it. As God said, as God said, as God said. What's the point? Folks, this is an impossible situation. Now, you may be cruising right along today. I mean, it's smooth sailing. No problems on the horizon. And you say, you know what? God is wonderful. God can do anything. Well, when the other shoe drops, it's a little tougher, isn't it? But let me ask you a question. When things are going great for you now, and when trouble comes, has God changed? Do we have the same God that Abraham and Sarah had? Do we really? Do you really believe that? It's easy to say, isn't it? Look, I want to remind you folks in this story of Abraham and Sarah that there is nothing too hard for God. What can God do? What's that? Anything he wants to do. That's exactly right. Now, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1, and this is fitting because this is because of the time of the year. We go from an elderly woman who God has promised is going to have a child when she is past childbearing age to the opposite extreme to a young lady, probably 15, 16 years old, who is engaged. But the marriage has not been consummated. And an angel comes to her. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a what? A virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Now you go down through this passage and he says, you're going to have a child. And how does she respond? I know not a man. What is she saying? This is impossible. By the way, is it? It is impossible for a woman to have a child without having a relationship with a man. It's impossible. Okay? here is a lady and says, you know what? This is not possible. Now, I want you to look at verse 37. I have it highlighted in my Bible. Here's the verse, by the way. For, what's the next word? With. Now, that's key, isn't it? Now, by the way, in your life by yourself, are there things that are impossible? Undoubtedly. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. You got it? Now, obviously, what happened? Well, you may have read the Christmas story. We always read the Christmas story before we open gifts. And in Luke chapter 2, you know the story. They went up from Galilee into the city of Nazareth. And while they were there, the days were accomplished. She should be delivered. And verse 7, she brought forth what? Her firstborn son. But that's impossible. Not with God. Not with God. For with God, nothing is impossible. I want to give you one more big one, and then I'm going to give you some small ones. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Children of Israel are wandering in the wilderness. 2 to 3 million people. Something miraculous happens every day. God feeds them. But over time, what happened? They'd get up in the morning and get manna. And mom would say, how do you want your manna today? Fried? Baked? If they were good Southerners, deep fried, you know? Well, I love pancakes. I really do. But if I had pancakes for breakfast and for lunch and for supper on Monday, and then on Tuesday the same thing, and on Wednesday the same thing, and on Thursday the same thing, pretty soon you're going to say, man alive, can't we have something besides pancakes? Now you can imagine these people. Now it was miraculous the way God was providing for them, but they were just like me. What did they want? A good steak. A good steak. You know, give us some meat. Give us some meat. And the Lord says, okay, he said, I am going to give you meat. Now here's an amazing thing. Let's read here a little bit. Says in verse 10 of Numbers 11 that the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. They're not happy about all these people. And Moses said, Lord, what's going on? Why did you give me your people? You know, they're not my people, they're your people. And he said, what's the problem? Why do I have to deal with all these people? And he says in verse 13, when should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. He said, I can't handle these people anymore. Verse 16, the Lord says, all right, get some guys. I'm going to pour my flesh upon them. And then verse 18, saying to all the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? And boy, we had all kinds of flesh in Egypt. We need some flesh. He said, you're not going to eat 1 day, 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, but a whole month you're going to have food. Now, how does Moses respond? Verse 21. Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffer this? What's he saying? And go a step further. It's impossible. It's impossible. There is no way that you can provide meat for all these people. Now look what the Lord says in verse 23. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? What's the Lord saying? What's he saying? Yes. It's the same question, isn't it? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Has God lost his power? Has his hand waxed short that he cannot provide meat for the people? And what happens? Well, God made quail to fly about 36 inches off the ground, and they took clubs and they beat those things to death, and then they took them and they ate them 30 days. Now, God did judge them, but God did an amazing thing. Look, folks, I want to remind you that there is nothing impossible with God. Now, I want to give you a bunch of short stories in the Word of God that back up this thing. Is it possible to go to a city called Jericho that had high, massive walls and destroy it by marching around it and yelling at it? You know what they did? They marched around it 6 days. They didn't say a word. Now, that's a miracle right there. Now, I'll be careful. I'm going to move on, right? I'm going to move on there. The seventh day, they marched around seven times, and then they did what? They shouted, and the walls fell down. That's impossible. How about Gideon? 300 against 212,000. And what were their weapons? Lanterns and trumpets. Good luck, fellas. Can you imagine the meeting when Gideon sat down with those 300 guys and said, okay, guys, I want 100 of you guys over here, 100 of you guys right here, 100 of you guys right here. Now, here's the plan. We're all going to get trumpets. Trumpets? And we're going to take pictures and put them in these things, and we're all going to spread out around the thing, and we're going to, when you hear me, you're going to blow your trumpets, you're going to break your pictures, your light's going to shine, and we're going to destroy them. And I'm sure those guys are going, oh, my soul. Send him back to Woodridge. You know, this guy has gone nuts. But what happened? Something impossible happened. How about a shepherd boy facing a giant 9 feet tall, 9 feet 9 inches, would you believe? A trained warrior covered head to toe, well, almost covered head to toe, with armor. He did have one little place that was a great target. And can you see David with that stone and that slingshot? And what's he doing? He is running toward the giant. And before the story's over, what happened? The giant is dead, and there's a great victory. Something really impossible. You know, is it possible for man to pray, just pray, and for it not to rain 3.5 years? That's impossible. But it happened. And another amazing thing, after the end of 3.5 years, what did he do? He prayed and it started raining again. Is it possible for a man to pray and fire come down from heaven and lick up the sacrifice and the stones and the water and everything, even the dust of the ground? That's impossible, except with God. Is it possible to go, how many of you like to go to the Knoxville Zoo? I'd take you, okay, I haven't finished my question yet. And I take you into the lion cage. And I say, okay, I'm going to have you sleep right here by the lions. In fact, if you want to, just take one for a pillow. Just lay down and sleep with them. Now, unless they got old snaggletooth that didn't have any teeth, would have to gum you to death, you're not going to want to do that. That's what Daniel did. And they weren't hungry. Well, tell the guys they threw in after Daniel. That's impossible. Is it possible to go into a furnace that is so hot that the guards are killed when they throw you in because the thing's so hot and you're in there just walking around having a good day, getting a tan, you know? Hey, you got any suntan lotion? You know, that's impossible. What was the key to that story, by the way? We threw in three, but we see the fourth. Yeah, with God, all things are possible. Is it possible for a man who is chained in a dungeon to two soldiers? There's two soldiers at the gate. There's several other gates. Is it possible for him to get out? Well, it happened to Peter. Look, folks, The Word of God says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. Now, is God working today in different ways than he did in those days? Sure, undoubtedly. In Christ's day, everybody that came to Christ was healed. Okay? I was reading the book of Acts. All the people who came to the apostles in this one verse were healed. Okay? Is it the same God? Yes. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are there any impossible situations with God? No. No. Now, some of you are saying, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. I had a really tough situation and God didn't help me. Let me be very personal. In January the 2nd will be the anniversary of my mother's death. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And many people were praying. She died. Where was God? Well, this proves God doesn't answer prayer. Pastor's mom got sick this last year, was very, very sick. And Pastor prayed and prayed and prayed, and what happened? God healed her. Can I be kind of transparent with you here for a moment? When he got up on the pulpit and said, God answered my prayer and he healed my mom, I'll be honest with you, that was tough. Because God didn't heal, well, he did heal my mom, but he didn't leave her here. Folks, just because God doesn't answer our prayers doesn't mean that God can't. I don't know why God healed Pastor's mom and did not heal my mom. Now, obviously, one was in her 60s and one was in her 80s, but I believe God could have healed my mother. I really do. We still, to this day, really don't know what happened. God chose to take her home. So let's think about that, and let me just give you a couple things. I want to remind you that when you're in this impossible situation, God is either going to bring you out of it or God is going to bring you through it. Now, is there biblical support for that? Yes. Let me give you 1 Corinthians 10:13. You know it. There hath no temptation taken you, no testing taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that you're able, but will with the test or temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I want to read you something. This is not original with me. Here it is. Every adversity or calamity we face is a divine vote of confidence, backed by the guarantee of 1 Corinthians 10:31. Did you get that? Let me read it again. Every adversity or calamity we face is a divine vote of confidence backed by the guarantee of 1 Corinthians 10:1. What am I, or 31, what am I saying? What is this guy saying? When God puts you in it, folks, what is he saying? He knows that with his help, there's a way of escape and you can make it. God can bring you out of it. But God doesn't always do that. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Boy, if there's ever a passage that our faith healers need to read, it is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And these folks would say to you, look, the reason you're not healed is because you don't have enough faith Well, tell that to the Apostle Paul. He prayed three times and said, God, deliver me from this thorn in the flesh. And God said, no, I'm not going to do it. But what did he say in verse 9? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Boy, I use that verse a lot in the ministry. In fact, I was at a funeral yesterday. And I was talking to Scott and Lana, and I said, hey, I just want to remind you, God's grace will be enough. God's grace will be enough. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Folks, look, God's going to either bring you out of it or he's going to bring you through it. God has the ability to do it. Now, the message this morning really is God is able. God is able. Joyce, I firmly believe that God is able to heal you. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that God is able. Now, have I had a vision from heaven that says God will? No. But I know God can. I firmly believe that God could have healed my mother. I believe that with all of my heart. But he chose not to. Now, what comes in at this point? Faith. That my situation, my dad's situation, which is really tough. And my dad's been with us now for about a week or so. And it's very obvious that being 85 years old, his mind is beginning to go. I'll be honest with you. I was with Pastor. We went to visit Miss Buckham before she passed away. And just walking to the nursing home, I'll just be honest with you. Now, if you have some in the nursing home, I'm not throwing off on you. It's really, I'm trying to encourage you that it's tough, but you're going to make it. But I tell you what, I had to say, to be honest with you, thank you for taking my mom to heaven. Now, my dad may go through this. It's very likely. I was trying to have, I brought him to the church one day, and I had five or six different songs that sheet music need to be put in order and be put away. And while I was working on some things, I said, here's it as well. Just put it in numerical order. And he worked for an hour and a half, and he couldn't do it. But I know that God's grace will be enough. And I'll be honest with you. I wonder, Lord, why didn't you take my dad? I mean, I know that sounds terrible. But the future doesn't look very good. I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know this. I do know that God's grace will be enough. It will be enough. I don't know what you're going to face this year. I don't know what I'm going to face. But the key to making it through whatever comes your way is a right view of our God. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. And many of you, some of you, most of you know the Bakers. They know that they lost a son. I shouldn't say lost. He went on to heaven. And that's been how many years? 18 years ago. And I know when that happened, you thought, we'll never make it. But you have. Why? Because you're such strong people? No, because God has carried you through. And you see, folks, what we have to realize when these things come is that God has a plan and a purpose, that God is still on the throne. Do I understand it? No way. So instead of turning our backs on God or being bitter against God, we have to say, okay, God, you've got a purpose, and I'm going to trust you. Now, let me close with a little illustration that I think is neat. A couple weeks ago, my granddaughter was in the nursery, and unbeknownst to the nursery worker, she had the flu. Evidently, you can have it for several days before you even know you have it, and you are contagious, okay? My granddaughter got the flu. I don't remember what day it was, Monday or Tuesday, several weeks ago. Because she had the flu, she had a high temperature, and she had a seizure. This is the second seizure. Now, we've been through this before with Sarah. Sarah turned out had epilepsy. We were hoping that she doesn't. Many children have these things, and it's okay. But anyway, the rescue squad came and said, "Yeah, we're not really excited about how she's come out of this, and we think you ought to take her to the hospital." So they took her to the hospital and did all kinds of tests, and sure enough, she had the flu, the real thing. And so they gave her the Tamiflu and all that stuff, and they sent her home. And they'd been in the hospital all day long. And so finally the doctor says, "Okay, nothing more we can do. She seems fine, you know, except for this. Go home every hour or so. Make sure you wake her up and give her Tylenol. Keep the temperature down so this doesn't happen again." And they're going out of the hospital. Now, remember that Sarah just had a child. And they're already whipped. And Joe is whipped. And now they've got this going on. I can't imagine what they were thinking. And by the way, they've had several physical things. Joe has got some pretty severe diverticulitis, been in the emergency room several times. They've got all these medical bills, and now they've got more. And I can't imagine what they were thinking as they were leaving the hospital. And Lily began to sing. And she said, "He's able, he's able. I know he's able." Now, I don't know why she sang that song. It may have just been the Lord saying, "Lily, your parents need to hear this song." But I want to remind you, no matter what comes your way, he's able. He's able. I know my Lord is able. I know my Lord is able to carry you through. He healed the brokenhearted. He made the blind to see. He caused the, I think I've got all the words wrong. But anyway, you know how it ends. He's able. If you haven't heard a thing today, here's two words I want you to remember. He's able. Now again, will he? That is in the sovereign hand of God. But I know, no matter what it is, he can. He can. He's able. He's able. And I want to encourage you, believer, some of you right now need this truth. All of us will at some point. And when it comes, keep a right view of God. I know Joyce and Bennett. The devil's saying to you, "Well, that's easy for him to say. He's not in our shoes." It doesn't really matter what our situation is. God is still God. God is still righteous. God is still all-powerful. God is still love. And he's still able. He's still able. Okay? Lord, we thank you for our God. What a mighty God we serve. And we thank you, Lord, that you are able, that with God, all things are possible. And Lord, our hearts go out to Joyce and to Bennett, to Robin, to others in this room today with seemingly impossible situations. And God, we pray that you would just minister to these people. Help them, Lord. Help them, I pray, to be able to realize, no matter what comes, that you're able, that you're able, that you're all-powerful, that you're all-wise, that you're a mighty God. And oh, when the trouble comes, help us, Lord, to remember who you are and have a right view of God. And carry us through the trial that we be victorious in all of these things. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.